Good evening. Thanks for coming. Before we have tonight's class, I just want to invite all the women that are here and that are not here. Hopefully you can announce and let all your friends and acquaintances know a very special event this Matzah Shabbos for ladies. Just a great time. It's going to be very special, a Rosh Chodesh gathering, some inspirational talk by a very, very, very special woman, and a beautiful kumzitz. It's going to be a time for great simcha, so come and bring people and just have a nice time. Thank you.
So we're almost done. Huh? Yeah, that was just the beginning. Thank you. So last time we spoke about the inyan of hishtadlus, about what a person is obligated to do, and in terms of, you know, the effort that they need to put in to a situation, not necessarily completely relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of them. We explained that this is a machlokes rishonim. Am I okay? There's a machlokes rishonim, that there's a difference of opinion among the rishonim as to how one relates to hishtadlus, about how one relates to his effort that they put, that one puts in. And there was one shita that we spoke out, a number of rishonim, but the one that we use to exemplify it is the shita of Ramban in his sefer Emunah B'Tochen, where the Ramban basically posits that hishtadlus is a heter, that, you know, really we should not really be doing hishtadlus. If we really had the right amount of emunah, we wouldn't need to do hishtadlus. But because we're p'chusei emunah, because we're not necessarily on that high madrega, so therefore we're allowed to do hishtadlus, and one does hishtadlus in accordance to what the level of their emunah is. The Chavis HaLavavis, which is the sefer we're learning, has a different approach and basically said that hishtadlus, the effort that we put in, is not a heter, but it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation. And one is obligated to put in hishtadlus. And hishtadlus, what amount of hishtadlus? The normal amount of hishtadlus that derech hateva, that in the natural world a person should put in, that's what he's obligated to do. Understanding full well that whatever hishtadlus he's putting in, whatever effort you put in, is not necessarily a cause and effect relationship to the result, that the result is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do my hishtadlus because I'm obligated to do it, and I do it because it's a mitzvah to do it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it, and the result of it will be whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come out of it, not necessarily commensurate with the effort that I put in. Interestingly enough, there is a sefer called Sefer HaMaspik, La'evdei Hashem, was written by Rav Avram ben Arambam. The Rambam's son wrote the sefer, in which he has a whole chapter which deals with bitachon. And his shita is sort of like a, for want of a better term, a compromise shita. He identifies three groups of people. One group are the great tzaddikim, neviim, malachim, whatever you want to call them, and their hishtadlus should be like the Ramban. And the average people, the rest of the hamaynam, their hishtadlus is supposed to be like the chavos levavos. And then there are rishoyim; they don't have hishtadlus at all. They don't have any emunah, betochen, hishtadlus. It's not irrelevant to them. And it's sort of like a compromise sheet. In Metzias, we explain in reality, it really doesn't matter how you come at it. You still are supposed to do a hishtadlus, and the hishtadlus should be at least a normal hishtadlus, what normal derech hateva a person would do in this situation. So we explained last time that there are different situations when one has to ask the question, what should my hishtadlus be? And we really spoke so far about the first two of seven different levels of areas where a person has questions of betochen, how much betochen and how much hishtadlus, how much trust and how much do I have to do myself. The first one was issues that deal with my own personal body, health issues. The second one was issues of parnosa, how do I sustain myself, and it's about me and how I deal with these issues. The other five, as we go down the list of the five, get broken up into issues of Olam Hazeh and issues of Olam Haba, issues with this world and issues that are relevant to the next world. And as we go on down the list, it seems that more and more hishtadlus is necessary. The less hishtadlus, least amount of hishtadlus is when I'm dealing with myself. As I start to branch out to others and I start to deal with Olam Haba, with mitzvahs, with things like that, there's more and more hishtadlus that's required of a person. And we'll go down the list and see how this starts to develop. So the third area, which is still in the realm of my interactions in this world, is what the Chavos HaLevavos calls the things that are relevant, Dvarim HaNoigim, things that are relevant, Le'ishtoi, for your wife or your husband, spouse, Le'bonov, to your children, Le'oyhavov, to the people that you like, your friends, Le'oyhavov, to people that you hate, that you don't like. How do I relate? What is my level of betochen and what is my level of ishtadlus in my interpersonal life? And it's obvious just by the introduction that when somebody is dependent on me or I am dependent on somebody, that the level of ishtadlus and the level of involvement of betochen changes a little bit because I have responsibilities. And the Torah puts responsibilities on me. A husband is responsible. You sign a ksuba. You write in the ksuba that you're going to be mafarnes. You're going to take care of your spouse. A mother is expected to take care of her children. Children have responsibilities to their parents. People in a community have communal responsibilities one to the other. People that do mitzvahs and do good things, we have good responsibilities to them. And people that are over avera, we have responsibilities to be makar of them. And this is now becomes to get into the realm not just of what I'm supposed to do and depend on Hashem, but the mitzvahs that are involved, the commandments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me that I'm supposed to do in a given situation, that by in and of itself requires effort. It requires hishtadlus, it requires work. So the Chavos HaLevavos divides this issue about my betochen vis-a-vis others into two distinct areas. One area is what he calls the area of the nochri. And I don't mean a guy here, I mean the stranger. The stranger. I happen to be living alone in a strange place. I have no family, no friends, no whatever. I'm a stranger in a strange place. That's one issue. And then you have the person who is interconnected. He has family, he has friends, he has community. He's a part of a social environment. So let's start with the issue of the nochri, because that sort of sets the stage here. And it's not where you would expect it to go. This whole discussion goes in a very, very different direction than we in our world expect it to go. So the Chavos HaLevavos says, let's take the situation of a nachri, the loner, the lonely person who's alone wherever he is. So he feels real sorry for himself. He's very sad. He doesn't have a place to go for Shabbos. He doesn't have a person to talk over his problems with. He doesn't have a social environment, friends. He's a loner in a strange place. So the Chavos HaLevavos says, sometimes that could be an amazing bracha. People don't understand that sometimes being able to be alone is a tremendous, tremendous bracha. And a person has to look at their situation that way and say, thank you, the Rabbanu Shalom, that you put me in this matzav. Why? Because I'm not burdened with responsibilities. I don't have a wife, I don't have children, I don't have communal responsibilities. I can sit, and I can learn, and I can be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can perfect my midas, and I can perfect myself in a way that I can't when I am burdened by outside responsibilities. The Chavos HaLevavos tells a story of a chassid who came to a town. And the town, he was very surprised to see there. First of all, there were only men. There were no women. And everybody was dressed basically the same, unless a chassidish shtetl, everyone had the same rekel, the same hat, whatever, everybody looked the same. Everybody sort of had the same food. Nobody was more wealthy than anybody else. And people were basically involved all day in learning and doing what the Rabbanu Shalom asks of a person. And this chassid had come. He was a magid. He came from town to town to say musar. And he was very surprised to see this town, and he went to somebody and asked them, what's going on here? Like, what's the deal? And they told him, we have families. Our families live in another town down the road. And we basically, every Matzah Shabbos, we leave our families. We come here, and we pravara avdas Hashem. We do whatever we have to do. And Friday afternoon, we all go home for Shabbos, and we have Shabbos with the family, and we do whatever we have to do with the mishpacha, with everything that has to be done. And then we all come back here, Matzah Shabbos, and start the week all over again. And the Chassid praised this town. He said, you people really understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of you. This is not what we would understand an ideal lifestyle to be. Even for a tzaddik, it's not the ideal lifestyle that we would understand. And I don't think the Chavos Levavos means that this should be the ideal lifestyle for anybody either. But there is a lesson to be learned here. We know, for example, that all of the Nevi'im, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, and frankly, from the Avos, starting from the Avos HaKadoshim, starting from our forefathers, were misbaided. They went and they went away alone for a period of time to perfect themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from Mitzrayim. He was alone as a shepherd. David HaMelech was alone as a shepherd. Avram Avinu separated himself from the world. Yaakov Avinu, you know, went to Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. Every one of the Avos and the Nevi'im had a period of time. This goes Keseder with all the Nevi'im, where they were misbaydeit, where they went to be alone and commune alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that moment, in that time, is when they became great. That's when they grew into what they were, because they had an opportunity, unburdened with outside forces, to grow in their Avodas Hashem. So sometimes, if a person finds themselves in a situation where they're alone and feel sorry for themselves, it's time to take a step back and say, sometimes this is a good thing. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu set this up for me to give me an opportunity to really grow in my ruchnius, to become greater. And then when I come to certain madrega, maybe then it'll be more appropriate or better for me to come back into society and to become part of a kehillah. So this is the starting point of understanding how to relate. Now when the Chavos Levavos starts with this background to look at how I'm to relate in my betochen, to my family, to my community, to my friends, to my everything else, the Chavos Levavos starts off with what we would think is a strange line, but is very understandable now. He says, "V'im yiyah habayteach be'elikim bal isha." If the person who has trust in Hashem is a husband, ukroivim va'ayavim va'ayvim, and he has relatives, and he has friends, and he has enemies, yiftach be'elikim b'hatzalosei mehem. He should have betochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him from them. What does that mean, he'll save him from them? That he will not overburden a person with responsibilities. We all have responsibilities, and we have an obligation to fulfill those responsibilities. But, you know, every one of those relationships can come with a big burden, or it can come with less of a burden. You know, a husband can be an auction, a wife can be a complainer, a child could need extra attention. All of those things take a lot out of us, and they take us away sometimes from our necessity to sit and learn, to grow in ruchnius. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if I have to do it, I have an obligation to do it, that's what you want of me to do it, don't overburden me with it. Let me do it in a way that I can still come close to you. Now, if you remember, we spoke earlier about one of the reasons the Chavos Levavos explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates nisyonos. A lot of times HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates tests for us. And one of the reasons was because if we were allowed to be, you know, on our own without being kept busy, we might stray. We might get involved in things we don't have to. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to burden us with things to do to keep us busy, because if we wouldn't, we might stray. We might go the other way. We wouldn't spend the time in ruchnius and learning. So sometimes that's the reason for the burden is also positive. It's also important. So he says the first step is I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me out, that he should be matzil me. I shouldn't be overburdened, that I can't do what I need to do klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, v'yishtadu l'freim ha'shachayev lahem, he has to try to pay back what he owes for them, whatever obligations he has, la'aseh schefzeyem, do what they need, li'yos li'bo sholem imohem, he has to be peaceful with them, v'yeref yodoy me'hasakosem, he has to be careful not to harm them, and he has to do things and arrange things that should be good for them. And he should be loyal, and he should be positive in all what he does with him. And he has to teach them Torah, and he has to teach them how to be a proper Avdei Hashem. Like the pasuk says, that's an amazing pasuk. And that's a pasuk that we don't understand generally. Which means, I understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want you to overburden me. But there's a chiyuv in the Torah called v'ahavta l'rayacha kamaycha. You have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And your spouse, alachas kama v'kama. And your children, alachas kama v'kama. And your friends, alachas kama v'kama. L'rayacha means the strange guy in the street that you don't know. You know, he's a yid, he's reyacha, because he's a Jew. But what about the people that are close to you? V'ahavta l'rayacha kamaycha demands the same thing, that I take care and I do what's necessary for them. That's hishtadlus. I can't say, you know, I have an obligation to provide for my family. You know, I'm going to have betochen. You know, like, have betochen and you, Hashem will take care of you. That works for me. It doesn't work for them. What my obligations are my obligations, and I must do those. And I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be matzil me. Don't make it too hard for me, so I can earn a living without having to overburden myself, so I'll have time to learn, have time for my family, have time for all the rest of the things. You should have a parnosa that's kala, parnosa that you can do whatever else you need to do, but never forget that you have an obligation. And once you have an obligation that demands b'toras mitzvah that you have to do something, and you can't just back off and say, I'm not doing it, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told you, you have to take care of it. So this is the way we relate to obligations to others in the context of bitachon. And then he throws in this little last line: what about my enemies? What about the people that I don't get along with? Now the question really is: where does bitachon fit into that picture? What bitachon do I have with my enemies? And if you think about it, it's really simple. Number one, who says you're allowed to have enemies? The pasuk says that you're not allowed to, you know, lesisnas achicha b'levavecha. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to hate your fellow Jew. You're not allowed to hate your fellow Jew, not that I go over to him and I hit him over the head. It says b'levavecha, in your heart. I'm not allowed to hate somebody. How do I have the ability to hate somebody? How can I do that? You're over a lav. If Chazal say if you pass the guy three times, and you don't go over to him and say, listen, we have a problem, I have to talk it out with you, you're over a lav, like eating treifas. Treifas. Okay? You're not allowed to harbor that sentiment of hatred in your heart. Okay. Except, what if the person is an over avera? What if the person is a, balavera? So then I have to stand up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a halacha called hecheyach teichiyach samisach. I have to be mechiyach him. I have to give him rebuke. And, they're all halachas about how and what and where and how I give him rebuke and when I can and when I can't and what it should be like and how I should do it and how I shouldn't do it. It's a whole Shulchan Aruch. And it's important that people learn it, not for now, but it's important that one understands it. But let's assume for the moment I have somebody and I have a negative relationship with that person. They didn't treat me properly. And I feel I have good reason to have tainus, to have a complaint. Where does my betochen fit into that picture? Where does that fit in? And here, there's a Gemara. It's a very, very important Gemara. I'm sure people who listen to Musar Shmuzin have heard this Gemara. But the Gemara says, basically, the Gemara, the Lashna Gemara is, Hanelovim ve'einam olvim, people who are embarrassed or put in an embarrassing situation, and they don't respond by embarrassing the other person in return. Aleihem Omer HaKosov, Ka'oyavei Hashem, they're considered lovers of Hashem, Ketzeis Hashem es Betzorayim. They're considered the real Oyavei Hashem. So I want to tell you a story that I heard, and you may have heard this story because the story made it around a few years ago, just to give you an idea about how we are to relate to somebody who we have tainus to, and where Betochen comes into that picture, and what does it mean to have Betochen. So the story was, there was a young couple in Eretz Yisrael who bought a dira. They bought an apartment. And, they moved into the apartment, and everything was wonderful. And in that shchuna, in that little neighborhood, there was a neighbor next door, an elderly woman, who from the time they moved into that apartment, every time that they met this young couple, would start to scream at them. What are you doing? All kind of screaming in the street. And it was embarrassing. And the couple didn't know what this was about. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was going on. What does this woman want from us? They tried to speak to her. She was just very angry at them. Eventually, they did a little research, and they found out that the previous owner of this apartment had made an extension on the merpeset, on the porch, and this woman had complained that this extension that they had built blocked her view from her window of something and was very disturbed by it. And what, they didn't do it. The guy before them did it. So they didn't, you know, what do you want from me, you know? Eventually, they went to the Bezner of Nissen Karelitz, and they wanted to see, did the woman file a complaint with the Bezden that, you know, it's this halacha and schiris batim that, you know, when you build, you can't do, you know, hezekriyas, you know, you can't block somebody's view. There are halachas about when you can, when you can't, and how you can build vis-a-vis your next-door neighbor. So they went, and they went to the Bezden, and then turns out that this woman had filed a complaint, come to the Bezden for a din Torah against the previous owner of the apartment, and she lost. She lost the din Torah. They paskin that that person had a right to make whatever extension they made on the merpeset. So now what? Okay? You know, they tried to mollify the woman. This woman, every time she saw them, it was just a terrible situation. Eventually, there was a bar mitzvah in this neighborhood. And the wife of this woman is sitting at the bar mitzvah next to another person that she had met, a friend in the neighborhood. And the old woman comes over and just starts to scream at her in the middle of nowhere. The old woman comes over to the woman who lives in this apartment and starts to scream at her like usual. Now it's in public. You know, you're sitting at a bar mitzvah, you know, at a table. It's very, very embarrassing. But she holds herself quiet. She doesn't respond. Woman goes away. A little later, she comes back, and she starts screaming again. At this point, the young woman was very, very disturbed. And it's like, you know, how much can a person take? And she starts to turn to answer her back, and her friend grabs her hand and says, please do me a favor, don't answer her back. So she doesn't answer her back. And the evening goes on. Later that night, the couple goes home, and the friend who was sitting next to her, who held her hand, knocks on her door and says, I know this was a very difficult afternoon, evening for you, afternoon, whatever it was, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about what happened. So she comes in, and they sit down. And she says, you're probably wondering why I stopped you from complaining to this woman. Why I stopped you from this. So she said, yeah, I mean, you know, I assume it was a good thing that I did that, but whatever. So she says to her, I want you to understand, my husband and I, we haven't had children since we're married. We've never had children. And I've been going to various Gedolei Torah for brachas and brachas and brachas. And I went to one particular goyin, we'll say who it was, one of the people that is melumed benisim, the people going out to soil, you know, who's a, you know, who can, his brachas really come true. Nothing helped. And finally I went back to this godlin and I said to him, I have no, what am I supposed to do now? What can I do? So the godlin told her, listen, I did everything I could do for you. I can't. There's nothing else I can say. I think the only etzah you have is to find a real oyev Hashem and get a bracha from that person. A person who really loves Hashem and get a bracha from that person. So I'm thinking, where am I going to find an oyev Hashem? You know, where is it going to be? And I'm sitting here at this bar mitzvah, and I see this woman come over, and I know she's been bothering you, and you don't respond. And I think, I heard, you know, hanelovim veinamolvim. That's what the pasuk says, Ka'ive Hashem, Ketzeis Hashem is Pashut Batzarayim. So I'm thinking, hey, maybe you're the person. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one I'm supposed to get the bracha from. The second time she came, I was already getting scared that I would lose this opportunity, and that's why I stopped you. And you didn't respond. So now I'm asking you, give me a bracha that I should have a child. And the story is that a year later she had a child. What do you see from this story? I mean, you know, it's a wonderful story. It's very moving. But what do you see from the story? You see that betochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm embarrassed. And I have every right to respond. I have every right to scream. I have every right to, you know, I'm being abused in a certain sense in public, and I don't, because I have betachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that makes me a real ayev Hashem. That makes me a person who really loves the Ribbono Shel Olam. That I can take that upon myself, and that's how I'm going to relate to my enemy, my ayev, not my chaver, my ayev, the person that I don't like, the person that I have a right not to like. So this is what the Chovas Halevavos explains, that a person to his enemy has to take the tact of a person who's ne'alovim ve'enam olvim, who gets embarrassed but doesn't respond. And it doesn't mean turn the other cheek, because we understand that a person has to be mechiach. There's nothing wrong in toichacha that's done al pi halacha. But not on a personal level. I'm not responding out of my personal hurt. I'm responding out of my rotzen to be makdashem, makadashem shamayim, that I want to do what the Rabbanu Shalom said. So this is how the Chovas Halevavos says I am to relate to other people. This is how the Chovas Halevavos says I'm to relate to my family, and how I'm relate, the betachin that I have to have in relating to people around me. The fourth, moving on now, we are out of the gedder now of how I respond to issues of Olam Hazeh, to issues that are more ruchni. What is my betachin supposed to be vis-a-vis obligations that I have that have a tayelus for me personally, not to anybody else, but to me personally, specifically mitzvahs that I have. A person, for example, has a halacha, you're supposed to fast at certain times, tefillah, davening, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, tefillin, all the various mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me that I have to do, that are my mitzvahs, that are negeya to me personally. If it's a challah for a woman, or hadlakas neiros, or whatever the mitzvahs are that I do, it's between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where does my betachin fit in over there? And here we have a big change in the approach, a major, major change in the approach. When we're dealing, for example, with a maisim that we do during the day, our general interactions, our general responsibilities, etc., we don't always clearly know what the right thing is to do. You know, we can guess, we figure, I should go to this doctor, not that doctor, I should take this job, not that job, I should, go to this grocery store, not that grocery store. And, you know, I have a cheshbon, I do b'derech hateva, if I follow the way the Chovas Halevavos says, I do what I have to do, right? I do all the things I have to do. But we're not really knowledgeable that I'm not necessarily going down right down the wrong path, that this job is going to bring me all kind of tzaras, and if I would have taken that job, it would be gevaldik, or vice versa. We don't know that. But we're told, do a hishtadlus b'derech hateva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his part. When we get to mitzvahs, it's a whole different ballgame. Because now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, do X, Y, or Z. Daven, put on tefillin, tzitzis, make a sukkah, take a lulav. So I can't say anymore, I don't know what this is. I should, I shouldn't, is it good, is it bad? We know what it is. We know what it is. And there are three parts to that tzivui. And that's a different scenario than I have in a regular maisa that I do. Number one, I have bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take the lulav. I have a bechira. I will take the lulav, I won't take the lulav. When it comes to my regular interactions in the world, you know, you sort of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a tchuna, he gives you sort of a characteristic that's good for this, or he pushes you a little bit like that, or he brings this in front of you, not that in front of you, this opportunity comes, that opportunity comes. A lot of it is beyond your control. But when it comes to a mitzvah, you have a bechira. Yo, it's finished. I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. Then I have to have a kavana. Once I decide I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it. I have to have a kavana. I'm going to carry it through, l'shem shemayim, according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to. And the third part of it is I have to do it. I have to bring that machshava li demaisa. I have to do it. I have to make, you know, take the lulav, build the sukkah, sit in the sukkah, put on the tzitzis, whatever these things are. I have to actually do it. This is different in two ways. Number one, when we're talking about a mitzvah, we know that it's good because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. And we also know what we have to do. We know what the tzivui is. We know that this is a bachar to bachayim, I do this, I'm doing the right thing. I do that, I'm doing the wrong thing. It's written for us. We got a guidebook. We got instructions. You know, there's a famous story, I wasn't thinking, there's a famous story about Rav Chaskel Levenstein, who was the mashgiach in Ponovich. And one of the, I guess, Bachrim one time, I guess he was ate by him or whatever it was, and he noticed that the Rebbetzin had a very shvacha mixer, you know, in the kitchen that for you for chalas or whatever it was, and went out and bought for them a brand new state of the art, whatever it was at that time, dough mixer or whatever it was. I didn't have KitchenAids in those days, whatever they had in those days. And the next day, the mashgiach came to his chabura with the instruction booklet from the mixer and put it on the table and said, "This is a raya. This is a proof that Torah min hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Everybody looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" You know. And he said, "Somebody gave me this gift, this mixer. You know, how would anybody know what to do, what button to push, how to do it? Comes with instruction book. Comes with a book. Tells you what to do, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an instruction book. He gave us the Torah. He gave us the instruction book. You know." Of course it has to come from Shemayim. What else would you think? You know, he gave it to us. He told us, do this. You know, you got the book. It's just like the instructions for the mixer, you know. That was Reb Chaskel, you know. That was his way of understanding the situation. So we have an instruction book, and we know it's right. We're sure that this is the right derech, and we're sure that only good is going to come out of it because it's the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch. So let's take a look at those key elements. The first one, obviously, Bechira. That we have choices when it comes to mitzvahs. We have a bechira yet and or not. And the second part is we have to do it. I mean, there's a kavanah, that's obvious, but then we have to actually do the mitzvah. So the Rambam has a series of igros, of letters that have been published. The igros HaRambam, the letters of the Rambam. And some of them are classics, actually. One of them is an igeres, a letter that he wrote to Ovadia HaGer. In those times, every ger was called Ovadia for a lot of different reasons. You know, Gerim took the name Ovadia. And there was an Ovadia HaGer who was obviously a big tzaddik and had a lot of kashas. He used to write to the Rambam. You can see he has a number of letters to Ovadia HaGer that must have been somewhat in regular contact with him. And he wrote him a letter, and he asked him a kasha. He says, the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except yira shamayim. Okay, except fear of God. That's in our hands. So he asked the Rambam, so where's the Bechira? Where's the choice? I mean, okay, yira shamayim. That's up to me. But what about everything else? So the Rambam wrote a lengthy tshuva to him. And in that tshuva, there are things that are also not what we are usually used to hearing. So the Rambam writes, everybody knows the famous Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says, "Arbaim yom kaidim yitziras havlad," 40 days before a vlad, a child, is conceived, a baskal comes out from Shemayim, there comes out a voice from heaven that says, "Bas pleni lepleni, this girl and this boy, they're going to be a shidduch." We call that in Mamaloshen, bashert. You know, every shidduch is bashert, right? It's bashert. So the Rambam says, that's not what it means. It can't mean that. 40 days before, this other Vlad is probably not even, their parents may not even be married yet, for all you know, you know. What are we talking about, you know? There's no Vlad, bas this to that. What are we talking about here? So the Rambam says, when you say, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, it means that everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except things that we have bechira. Everything that we have choice is called yira shamayim. Because we have to choose based on Yira Shamayim, the right or the wrong. Everything. So when I have to get married, there are people that I'm allowed to marry, and there are people I'm not allowed to marry. Can't marry a goy. You know, a kohen can't marry a grusha. She can't, you know, there are, you know, I can't marry somebody who's a relative, certain kroivim I can't marry. Can't do it, right? So I have bechira. I have choice. Am I going to marry this person or am I going to marry that person? Am I going to do the Ratzon HaBayrei or not the Ratzon HaBayrei? Am I going to marry somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I can, or am I going to marry somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I can't? That's Bechira. So when you have Bechira, it's called Yira Shamayim. And if you have that, that means who I marry is up to me because I have to choose. I have to make a choice because there's a mitzvah and aveira involved in that choice. So it's up to me. So what does the Gemara mean? So he has a whole explanation of that Gemara. That if a person is doing ma'asim tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be misaved, that a girl who is a better girl will come closer to him, and he'll be happy with how that opportunity. And maybe if he's not a person who's doing ma'asim tovim, then that girl will end up in another country, will be far from him, he won't find the right person. This is how the Rambam understands it. But the Yesod HaDavar is you have choice. This idea that, you know, this person's the person that I chose, al pi alocha, that's the one and the husband that the wife chooses, al pi alocha, is the one that I'm going to marry. Because it's Yer Shemayim, and that's called Bidei Shemayim. Not Bidei Shemayim, it's in my hand. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls himself back, kebiyochel, you know, and says, I'm going to get out of this area, this is up to you. And where the betochen comes in here is really in the Maisa. Because I have to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I make the effort to go build my sukkah, to buy my lulav and esrog, you know, to get kosher tzitzis, you know, to do, you know, to all of the, to fast on Yom Kippur, and to do all these things I put effort into. But sometimes realization of that effort is not in my hands. Sometimes the nainus happens and I can't do it. But that, when that happens, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that if it rains on sukkahs, right, and you can't go in the sukkah, so we should understand that it's a siman klola. It's, of course, we don't go in the sukkah. You're not supposed to go in the sukkah in the rain, right? You're not supposed to do that. But I also have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the opportunity for me to be Mekayim the mitzvah. I'm potter. I'm free of the obligation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away from me. Why did he take it away from me? Why didn't he give me the opportunity to do this mitzvah and come closer to him? Rav Gifter writes in his Sefer Pirkei Torah, by the story of when Yaakov Avinu came back, you know, and met Esav. And Yaakov Avinu was very worried because the two things that he was lax in, the two mitzvahs that Yaakov Avinu was not able to be mekayim, were the same two mitzvahs that Esav was exemplary in. What were those? He was for 20 years in by Lavan, so kibud av v'aim he couldn't do because he was there and his father was over here, right? Esav, on the other hand, exemplified kibud av v'aim. That was his big mitzvah. Chazal tell us, we should have the kibud av v'aim that Esav had. It was amazing how much his kibud av v'aim was. The other mitzvah was Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Esav was in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was over there in Aram, you know, by Lavan Harami. So he thought, I'm at a deficit here. I'm not in a good situation. I'm coming back. He has the two mitzvahs that I don't have. So Rav Gifter explains what it was his taina. I mean, it was an oinus. It wasn't his fault. It's not that he didn't want to do kibud av v'aim. He was thrust out to a place far away. He couldn't, you know. It's not that he didn't want to do Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He was sent away. So he explains, he said there was a story with the Alter Mislabotka. There was a bacher once in the yeshiva in Slabotka who was who got sick around Yom Kippur time. He was sick. And he was forced, for various reasons, he couldn't come to yeshiva, and he was home, and, you know, he was not in yeshiva for Yom Kippur. He came back a month or so later to the yeshiva, and the Alter from Slabotka took him into the room and gave him a Musar Shmuz, why you didn't fast on Yom Kippur, and screamed at him, why you didn't fast on Yom Kippur? Why didn't you fast on Yom Kippur? You know, how could, you know, look what happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you didn't fast on Yom Kippur. Now, the boy could have answered, I was sick. I'm not supposed to fast. But the Alter's taina was, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away the ability for you to fast on Yom Kippur? Why did he stop you from, why did he make you sick before Yom Kippur and for some reason did not allow you to have this amazing mitzvah that you could get kapora from? And the boy eventually answered to the Alter, he said, Rebbe, I did fast on Yom Kippur. I was home, but I did fast. And when the Alter heard that, he kissed him and hugged him and he said, Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take away the opportunity. Oinus Rachmana Patre. We're potter if we have an oinus. But we have to be concerned that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me this opportunity? That part is not up to us, whether we can actually fulfill the mitzvah. That's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's where betochen comes in. I do my hishtadlus. I go out and try to find a lulav and esrog and a tzitzis and a tefillin and all these. I go do it. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu just doesn't allow me to get there. Doesn't allow me to get there. Nebuchadnezzar, but I have to be concerned when that doesn't happen. It's not the same when you say, Machshava Toiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzar Fa L'Maisa. The Gemara says, a good thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts that by your Jew as if he did it. It's true. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it like you did it. But it's not the same thing as if you actually really did it. If you really did it, that's already a different madrega. And a person has to be concerned and use that as an opportunity. So this is as far as inyanim that are applicable to me and my mitzvahs that I do. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah, however, that require another person to be mekayim the mitzvah. I can't be mekayim the mitzvah myself. Tzedakah. You know, in order for me to give tzedakah, I have to give to somebody. There's got to be a somebody on the other end of the line. It's interesting enough, one of the Avudram says, just thought of this, you know, the Avudram says that one of the klolim, one of the rules for making a bracha on a mitzvah is if I do the entire mitzvah. If I have to split the mitzvah up with somebody else, for example, if I do a din Torah, there are three dayanim, there are three judges, right? I can't do a din Torah myself, I need three judges, I need two other people. You don't make a bracha by din Torah, you never saw a dying get up. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, lasas din Torah, before they made a din Torah, right? Why? Because I'm not doing the whole mitzvah, there's two other people there. Without the two people, I can't do the mitzvah. Can't. Same thing, you know, if I have a mitzvah of tzedakah, I need an ani. I need him. If he's not there, I can't do the mitzvah. If I don't have the ani to give the money to, no mitzvah, right? So there's no bracha. You never see a person, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, lasas tzedakah. You don't see such a bracha like that. Because we need another person to do the mitzvah. There has to be another person involved in doing that mitzvah. So things like Lashon Hara, Kibud Av V'Em, Hashavas Aveda, Piroyon Chayv, paying off a debt, all of these things are mitzvahs that involve another person. And here too, I have to have betochen. Because I can't always be mekayim it. But when I have a mitzvah that involves another person, that means that I have more of a hishtadlus to do than if it only involves me. I have more of a responsibility, whether it means paying back a loan, whether it means giving tzedakah. I have more of a responsibility because there's another person on the other end that I have a responsibility to, in addition to the fact that it's a mitzvah. And here, says the Chovetz Chavos, the person has to be very careful. Because a person has to understand with these mitzvahs that just like there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, I have to give charity. There's also a mitzvah called piroyon chayv that I have to pay back a loan. Now, paying back a loan is not much fun. Don't get much good feeling from paying back a loan. It doesn't do anything for me, you know. It doesn't make me say, oh, what a great guy you were, you paid back a loan. But you give tzedakah, I'm a great special person, look, I gave tzedakah. Chazal tell us on the pasuk nosain titain, that the pasuk says nosain titain, you should give tzedakah. It's a double lashon, nosain titain. The Gemara darshins, the Gemara learns, afilu elef pa'amim, even if the guy comes 1,000 times. What does that mean that the guy comes 1,000 times? Because the first time he comes, he's a poor guy by the door, and I feel bad, I give him the money, and I feel like I chagarata v'develt, I saved the world. You know, look what I did, what a great person I am, I'm such a generous person, you know. The next day he knocks on the door again, you know. Still feel bad, but like, didn't I give you yesterday, you know? Okay, nachamu. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. By the time I get to the 1,000th day, I get no sipuk out of giving this guy tzedakah anymore. I get nothing out of giving him the tzedakah. When I give him the tzedakah the 1,000th day, then I'm giving it to him because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I have to give tzedakah. Not because I want to feel good about myself. When we do these mitzvahs, I have to do them not because I want something out of it, not because I'm trying to be a good person, that I can, I get a personal aggrandizement out of it. I'm going to get shlishi in shul, and people are going to say by the banquet, he's a big bal tzedakah. When they make the shidduch by the sheva brachas, they're going to say all these wonderful things, look what he did, and how many shdis. I do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I have a mitzvah to do it. And the test is when you do it in the situations where you don't want to do it. When you're in a situation where it's not fun, and you don't get any aggrandizement, and no one's going to know, and I'm still going to do it, that's called the mitzvah tzedakah. That's why the Rambam says that tzedakah I do privately that nobody knows about is the highest form of tzedakah. Because there's no question that why am I doing it? I'm only doing it for the Rabbanu Shlomo. It's a little bit late, I don't want to go into it, but the Chovetz Chavos goes into three mistakes that people make that are balei tzedakah. Three mistakes. And they have to do basically with gaiva. A person thinks, you know, I gave the tzedakah. But the ani has to understand that the rich person didn't give him the tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the tzedakah. You just use the conduit. You're just a conduit. You know, you're the guy who gives the tzedakah. You're just you're the middleman. You know, if you went and you picked an orange from a tree, you know, would you say thank you tree for giving me the orange? No, you say thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making the tree that gave me the orange. So when you get tzedakah, I have to, you know, I mean, there's a nimus derech eretz. You thank the person for being the intermediary. But who am I really thanking? The Rabbanu Shlailam. And when I'm the giver of tzedakah, am I really giving the tzedakah? I'm not giving the tzedakah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave me the money to give for tzedakah. So if a person understands that this is what's really going on, And this is what's really happening. So that's a different tzugang. It's a different approach to how one is going to get tzedakah, about one how is going to be take care of their responsibilities, about how they will deal with a poor person who is a nudnik, who is giving them a tzaris, who's giving them a hard time, who's not properly, you know, doing acting in the way he should act, and you know, and yet we take care of them. Yet we do what we have to do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah that we have to do it. So these are maisim that we do in this world, benegeya, that have an effect in terms of our betachin that we should have, you know, in terms of how we're supposed to respond to mitzvahs. The last two, and I don't really want to talk too much about the last one because it's really unfortunately not negeya to us in our time, is how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu benegeya to Olam Haba, to the next world. And this is something that's very difficult for us. And it's difficult for us because we have to understand that it's a concept of schar v'einish. We understand that it's a yesod, it's a basic point in Judaism that there's reward and punishment. And I don't do the mitzvah for the reward. And the punishment is maybe supposed to help me a little bit pedagogically not to do the avera, et cetera, et cetera. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a din and there's a dayan. There's a system here. And it's not just hefker. It's not just you do what you want. That means that I believe it's one of the Yesaidis Hamuna, Yud Gimel Ikram of the Rambam, that there's Schar Vainish, that there's an Olam Haba. There's a world that's going to come. The Mesillas Yesharim says that once I believe there's a God, so the proof that there's an Olam Haba, you know what the proof is there's an Olam Haba? In the first parak, he says this in Mesillas Yesharim, there's a proof. Once I believe there's a God, everybody in the world, everybody, no matter how wealthy and how poor, how strong or how weak, no matter what their situation, life consists of going from one crisis to another crisis. That's what life is. Life means I have a crisis, another crisis. So my crisis might be in the real estate market, someone else's crisis might be with their kids. And, you know, today it's this, tomorrow it's a big one, then it's a little one. Life is going from crisis to crisis, and once in a while in the middle we get a little rest and a little nachas and a little happiness, and that's what this world is. Urabam amal va'oven. That's this world. The person lives, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, you live 70 years, you have 80 years, uravam, and the majority is omalvav, and it's tzoros. That's what it is. Everybody has that. Nobody's exempt from that. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Is he happy, like we said before, to put, like, he wants hamsters in a ring going around and around making tzoros for everybody? There's got to be something on the other end, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Because everybody has the same issue. And you talk to people, you'll find that it's a problem, and another problem, and another problem, and in the middle, once in a while, you shep a little nachas. You know, you have a good time, there's simcha, there's something happens, you know, something good happens. So, all existence in this world is to get to Olam Haba, is to do the proper things to get to that schar, to get to that place where we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to improve ourselves and to make our neshama perfect to the level that I can come to the highest possible level of kurva, of closeness to Ribbono Shel Olam and Olam Haba. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in this world, right? So I have to understand, I have to have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when I'm doing things and they don't seem to be always so happy, you know, I'm cleaning for Pesach and it's really hard, you know, and I got 75,000 people coming to my house for Shabbos and I got to, you know, put a Shabbos together or, you know, building that sukkah is, I can't do it anymore, I can't this, I can't that, I have so many other things going on at the same time. I have betochen. That the reason I'm doing this is because this is my job in the world. This is my job here. I am preparing myself for Olam Haba. So says the Chovas HaLevavos, it's interesting that all of the Einshim in the Torah, all of the punishments are very clearly spelled out. They're really clearly spelled out in the Torah. You notice that? You know, you get Malkus for this, you get Misa for that, you get Kores for this, you have bring a carbon for that. Everything is very clear. If you do something wrong, what you have to do is very clearly spelled out in the Torah. You know what's not clearly spelled out in the Torah? Anywhere? What's the reward? Now, it's true, you get certain places, a few places where it says you get Arichas Yomim. And Chazal Darshan usually, that Arichas Yomim doesn't mean here, it means in the next world. So we're back to the same question. What is the next world? Nobody seems to know exactly what the next world is. There are a lot of Sforim, Kabbalah, but nobody really knows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell us exactly what it's going to be. We have Ramazim, We know that, for example, that on Shabbos we can come to a level of Me'ein Olam Haba. We can come to close to Olam Haba because we divorce ourselves a little from the gashmias of the world. And Shabbos, I have Me'ein Olam Haba, but it ain't Olam Haba. So why is that? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu lay it out for us? And the Chavis HaLevavis, and probably we'll end on this point, gives seven reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lay out black and white for us what Olam Haba. Because if he did, you'd think it would be a lot easier to do everything, because you know where you're going, what's on the other side. So the most obvious one is that we don't have an ability to be masik. We can't appreciate or understand what Olam Haba is, because it's a world that's devoid of gashmis. There's no physicality in Olam Haba. And we're physical beings, so we can't perceive it. We can't really perceive it well. Another reason is because we actually did get it. We have concepts of Olam Haba. We have Ish Mipish from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Kabbalahs in terms of what Olam Haba is. You know, again, to some degree. And then he says, we have Kabbalahs. I mean, different Sfarim talk about it. Where did they get it from? They got a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Oz Yashir, all the Drushas, the Medrashim speak about Olam Haba. You know, Gemaras talk about it. It's a Kabbalah. So we did get something. We got a shmek of it. The Dor HaMidbar, the generation that went out of Mitzrayim, that had the biggest Gilui Shechina, they had the biggest revelation of any generation in the history of mankind, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, couldn't appreciate the erech, the importance of Olam Haba. They couldn't. Baharaya, they couldn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak. He had to stop. Moshe had to finish the last eight Dibros. They had to have a kofaleim hakagigas because they're parcha nishmasam. They couldn't, even the Dor HaMidbar couldn't relate to what Olam Haba is. So how do we expect that we're going to be able to relate to it? And also, Me'ikar Adin, we really don't deserve it. You know, it's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even gives us Olam Haba, that we have such a thing. Because technically, the toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is many, many more times more than what we deserve in response for what we're getting. The other issue is that Olam Haba is given really for what's called avodah tzfuna. The real Olam Haba that we get is not necessarily for doing the Maisa Mitzvah that everybody else sees. But the real Olam Haba we get is for what's going on inside your head. What's your kavana when you did that mitzvah? How hard you tried? What your thoughts were? How much you tried to connect to the Rabban Shalom when you did that mitzvah? The chayvas halavavos that you had when you did the chayvas haivarim. The chayvas that you had, what you did in your mind, how much that really connected you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, I want to make a commercial. A commercial for something that people generally don't like in today's day and age. And that's chumras. You know, people say, chumras, oh, too much chumras, we have too many chumras, right? And this is, the Mesillas Yesharim says, and this is one of the most important things, I think, in the whole Mesillas Yesharim, that the majority of our Olam Haba comes from the chumras we take on. And what does that mean? I mean, you think about it, like chumras, you know, nocham achmer, what's crazy, you know? What next chumra are they going to come up with? You know, we lost the strawberries, and we lost to this. What's going to be next? No more fish, no more strawberries, you know? Next thing you know, what is this whole concept of chumras? And I'm going to give you a mashal. The Chavos Levavos speaks about a person who walks on a cliff, on the edge of a cliff. You know, there's a line. That line, on this side of the line, you fall off the cliff, you're an over avera, and on this side of the line, you're okay. So he says, don't be a fool and walk on the cliff, because one wrong step and you're over the cliff. It's better off if you stay far away from the line, because that line is dangerous. You know, you can slip easily over the other side. But the mashal I want to give you that I think is much more deep than this is a very simple, you know, mashal that people understand, I think. You know, a person, you know, let's say it's Father's Day, okay? Father's Day. And you want to bring up breakfast to your father, or it's Mother's Day, you want to bring breakfast to your mother in bed, okay? You know, it's an American custom to do that. You bring the tray up, you know? So there are two ways you can bring that breakfast up to your parent. Two ways. You can say like this. What's the minimum shear of orange juice? It's a revius. So I'm going to put a revius of orange juice in a cup. What's the minimum shear of achila? It's kebay. I'm going to put a hard-boiled egg in the thing. And here it is. Yoitza, I gave you food and drink. Breakfast, right? I'm yoitza. I did the shear. I did the revius of orange juice, and I did the ebay of egg. I did the minimum shear. Another person says, you know what? I'm going to make an omelet. and I'm going to put a flower on the tray, and I'm going to put some nice silverware and a napkin, and a note, and a this, and I'm going to put, you know, a big glass of orange juice and a coffee, and I'm going to bring it up like that. So which situation engenders ahava from a parent? The one who said, I brought you the minimum share, yoitza, I did it, right? Yoitza-san, I gave you the minimum share, right? Or the person who, you know, went to the extra effort and put together a chumrah. Doesn't say you have to make a whole glass. The revius is enough. You yoitza with revius, but I put a whole glass of oranges. Doesn't say I have to make a whole omelet. It says a kebeya. That's the shear. And you know, that person engenders ahava. So when a person turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, I'm not going to just do the minimum shear. I'm not drinking the revius. I want to have a chumrah de kashir. I want to go further. That's what engenders ahava from the Borei Olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what you have to do, you have to do. But the one who takes the extra step and adorns it, that's what it means when Chazal said, Zekeli v'anveyu, isnol afana b'mitzvahs. That a person has to do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. Talis na, sefer Torah na, shofar na, tzitzis na. You're going to buy the tzitzis. Buy nice tzitzis. Don't buy schlumpy tzitzis. Make a nice sefer Torah. Write a nice one. Don't make a, you know, if you can do, you know, of course, if this is the sefer Torah we have, it's the only one. Yaitza, we're yaitza, it's the sefer Torah. But you want to do it nice. I can have a talis or I can have a nice talis. You know, all of these things, hisnol afana b'mitzvahs, that's what engenders the ahava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the aside of what goes on in the depths of a heart. In addition, you know, the schar that we get, that we talk about, and the einish that we talk about, is supposed to be mashpia on us, to do mitzvahs properly. It's a pedagogic tool. And in different times, in different places, the pedagogy is different. It's a different story, different situations, you know. So we don't always... We don't always know exactly what the schar and einish that's going to, a certain generation is going to touch them. You know, you read some of the svarim, even the Chovos Levavos, that talks about mishalom of an eved and a melech, a servant or a slave and a king, a servant and an odoin. You read the mishalom, you read these analogies, and they mean nothing to us because we don't have a concept of slavery. We don't know what that is. And when you listen to a story about a king, we don't have a king. We don't know what a king is. You know, there was a time when somebody said the king and everybody tittered. The king meant something. He was a czar. He was a, you know, who knows what. Today, you know, it's a mitzvah to bered the president. You know, whoever the king or the president, you're supposed to bered him. You're supposed to scream at him. Sometimes he said, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's silly. He's there. We don't have that concept. Those mishalom don't work for us anymore. We have to come up with different mishalom, different understanding of schar v'einish. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't write it up. And the last part is, and I think the most important, and we'll end on this point, is the tachlis of Olam Haba is dveikus b'Hashem, is that we want to come close to Hashem. Our goal here is not what Olam Haba looks like or what's going to be in Olam Haba. It's coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means I want to be merutze, I want to be wanted. If a person has a friend and the friend bavels him somehow, does something wrong to him, and they make up. They sit down, they say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, it was a mistake, I shouldn't have done it. You know something? You make up. But it's not the same as it was before. It's not the same as before. You're still not running to his house every Friday night. You're still not schmoozing around like you used to. We're friends, you know, okay, I'm not, you know, I say Shalom Aleichem, you say Shalom Aleichem, we'll see each other at a simcha. But we don't have that relationship that we had before this event happened. When we do an Aveira and we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we want Slicha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, no problem, Slicha, I'll wipe your slate clean. But we're not Merutze to HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. We're not wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shari Tshuva says a person's goal in life is to be wanted. You want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should want you. What does that mean? That's what's called Tshuva Gemura. If a person does Hirhurei Tshuva, just to hear her, just a little bit of thought of tshuva, he becomes a tzaddik gomer. That's what the Chazal say. Hear hure tshuva makes you a tzaddik gomer. But that's only, you know, okay, you're cool. I'm not angry at you anymore. But that's not enough for us. We want to be merutze. That's why all the chelki ha-tshuva, we have to do all the parts of tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, I want you again. That's the concept of Olam Haba, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us next to him, and we want to be wanted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's something that's the whole story. That's all that's important. It's not really important what it looks like, how it's going to be, where you're going to stand, how is it going to stand. All of those stories are not really the ikar. The ikar is to be merutze. The last chalek that talks about the schar for tzaddikim, gemurim, and neviim, and all of kedoshim is something maybe we'll allude to maybe a little bit next time. It's not something that we find nebuch that we are so nogeya to us, but we'll pick up with that next time and then talk about the things that get in the way of our betachah.